Thanks for joining us, and welcome to the Stonebridge Church Podcast. Here at Stonebridge, our goal is to lead people into a real, healthy, and growing relationship with Jesus Christ. If you'd like to join us live, we hold services every Sunday at 9:30 and 11:05 a.m. at 1 Stonebridge Church Drive in the Woodlands, Texas. We invite you to check out our website at gostonebridge.com and follow us on Twitter, where our handle is at SBChurch, and give us a like on Facebook at facebook.com/gostonebridge. This week, Pastor Steve Bradley teaches from our new series, Satisfied. Here's Pastor Steve.
All right, good morning. I think that's an interesting video, don't you? That people would look at their lives and say, you know, what is it that you regret, your greatest regret about your life, especially as you move on in life, as you look at it, it calls you to do a really healthy thing, and that is to evaluate how you live your life, the things that you're doing with your life, and whether or not you look at those things and say, you know, these things were worth doing, these things really mattered, these things were what, you know, I should have done in life and what I was supposed to do in life. What if you could live a life where you got to the end of your life and you look back and you said, you know, it was worth living. It mattered. It was important. This is the life that I was supposed to live. These are the things that I was supposed to do. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? It doesn't mean, and I think one of the things that I notice about the video, is it doesn't mean that everybody that got up and wrote on there, that they were talking about the same things. They were really talking about a process, a way to try to understand, what is it that I should do? What is it that I should be doing? What are the things that I should be pursuing and that I should be chasing? And I think it's just a great thing to do, is to stop and say, what if God had a purpose for my life? What if God planned me for a reason? What if there was something that God wanted me to do? And then the question comes, well, then how would I figure that out? How would I understand that? How would I know what it is that I could pursue and chase and do in my life and then come to the end of my life and say, it was worth doing. My life made a difference. My life mattered. That's what God, you know, intended for me to do and how God intended for me to live. We titled it this morning, why is it that we can't be satisfied in life or find a life that we are satisfied with? And I want to take you this morning to a story in the Old Testament. It's someone you might not know as well as some of the other heroes of the Old Testament, but he really was a hero, and it's a really interesting story. It's the life of a guy named Gideon. And let me set you up with Gideon's life, because it's a great story. Gideon lives in a time called the... his story's in the book of Judges. It comes after Moses rescuing the people out of Egypt. Remember that? And, you know, they go through all the plagues and they get ready to go into the promised land. It's called that because it's the land that God promised to give them and that God wanted to give them. But they were also a part of it, of taking it, but it was God's gift to them and what God had for them and their future. But if you remember, they didn't go straight into the promised land, did they? Because they didn't really believe that they could go in there and that God would rescue them and take them in the way they should have. And so they wandered around the wilderness. Anybody remember for how long? 40 years. That's a long time to be in the wilderness to learn to put their trust in God and to look to God to who they were. And they go through for 40 years. A guy named Joshua, he is the one that leads them into the promised land. And it's a wonderful story as Joshua takes on his role after Moses to lead them in. They take this land. They live in cities that they did not build. They have vineyards and crops and things that they did not necessarily plant. They have cattle and herds that, you know, they weren't things that they had designed or scratched out. It's just a wonderful place that God places them. But during the time of Joshua, which I think happens to us, things are really good so that all of a sudden it's easy to stop looking to God and start looking at just what you have and say, I do this, don't you? I like my life. I have a lot of wonderful things. Why do I need, right, God? Why? Because, you know, I have these wonderful things. And then all of a sudden we begin to lose sight of who gave them to us, and we begin to lose sight of what makes our life really matter and important and what really brings us satisfaction because of what God has done in our life, and we simply start living off of the life itself, and we start trying to find our answers, you know, with life itself rather than from God. I think that this is exactly what you find in the book of Judges. In fact, in the book of Judges, interesting, they would get themselves in a real predicament. They would walk away from God. They would kind of combine God with how they live life and the people around them, and they would take up the practices of the people around them. Still believed in God, but it was, they kind of lost sight. And then they would get themselves really in a difficult position, and they would become slaves and be in servitude to certain things or people. And then they would finally, it would get so bad that they would just cry out and say, God, is this, you know, this can't be the way you wanted us to live. This can't be it. God would send them a judge or a rescuer, a redeemer, who was certainly a picture of Christ, who Christ would be, and would rescue them, would set things straight, and then they'd go through the process again. But Gideon's story in the book of Judges is different, because Gideon's story is not just about God sending a rescuer or a redeemer or a judge. Gideon's story is about how God built a rescuer or a judge, what he did in Gideon's life so that Gideon understood what he was supposed to do. And I think it's a really important story for me and for you in looking at your own life and saying, how do I know what God wants me to do so that I can eventually one day live my life and say, man, my life was good, it was worth living, you know, and I'm satisfied with the life that I lived. And let me take you through, when you ask this question, why aren't we satisfied, a couple points that come out of Gideon's story. The first one is Gideon couldn't find satisfaction because he had not figured out how to figure out who he was. So for us, we haven't figured out yet how it is we're supposed to understand or figure out who we are in life, our identity in life. Now, to set up his story, Gideon's struggle, or the people's struggle at this time, was with a group called the Midianites. And the Midianites were the first group of people that we know of. They actually came out of Abraham's offspring. But the first group of people that we know of that had developed a system of using camels to come in as an army and raid Israel. They wouldn't live there and take over the land. They would simply come seasonally. And they would come during the harvest time. They would come in fast on these camels, long distance. They never saw them coming. They would take their crops, all that they had produced, their cattle. And the Israelites began to live in fear of these raids that would come and would last for a while. Then the Midianites would leave, and they began to act out and live based on these fears, based on these frustrations that they had, and not feeling like there was anything that they could do. Now, I think that relates to us. I think we do the same thing. We find ourselves just sort of adapting to the things that we think, you know, have overcome us, and there's nothing that we can do about them. It's just the way it is, right? We have our own ite problem in our life, right? Like the Midianites and the Amalekites, and we have them. We have gigabytes and, right, cellulites, and I mean, all those things, you know, they come upon us also, where we're like, I can't overcome these things. These things are just part of life, and we somehow learn to accept them, not because of who God is and what God wants and what God has called us to be, but instead we just accept them because they're just a part of life, where God, maybe God wants to say something different to us. Maybe God wants to rescue us, and we need to look to Him and say, okay, God, I want to live a life that You want me to live, and how do You want to rescue us? And this is Gideon's life. This is what it says about Gideon. It says, the messenger of the Lord. Now, this is at a time where a sojourner is what it refers to at first. This stranger comes in, but here he's called the messenger of the Lord. He came and sat under the oak tree in Ophrah that belonged to Joash from Abiezer's family. Joash's son Gideon was beating out wheat in a wine press. That's a strange thing. But he says, to hide from the Midianites. The messenger of the Lord appeared to him, appeared to Gideon and said, the Lord is with you. And this is really interesting. He says, the Lord is with you, brave man. Or some of the translations will say, great and mighty warrior. And those are very accurate translations of the language that is used. Now, you may think that's kind of a strange thing. And obviously, God has sort of a sense of humor and maybe some satire attached, because Gideon is hiding in a wine press trying to beat out or harvest, separate wheat, which normally you would do in large areas, especially with a large crop, and you need the wind, but he's down in a wine press, so obviously it's a smaller amount. The harvest wasn't very good, or what's left of it, and he's hiding because the Midianites might see him and might come and take what he has. But this stranger, this sojourner who comes, sees him, and he says to him, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." I don't think it's just satire. I don't think it's just, you know, kind of like, yeah, right. I mean, do I look like a mighty warrior? I think that's true. I think it would have struck Gideon in this way. But the truth is, Gideon was from a very prominent family. His father was one of the most important families, and Gideon would have been looked at as a young leader and someone who was supposed to lead the nation. They would have looked to him as he was a very important and should have been a powerful person. But there's this picture that he is hiding away. And of course, then because of that, you know, everyone else, that's their one of their leaders. And so they're hiding away also. I think it relates to how we tend to live our lives a lot of times. We tend to look at ourselves the way Gideon did, and we're kind of overcome by three things that kind of take us to understand ourselves in the way that we shouldn't. Here they are. We look at our enemies, and we look at our current circumstances, and we look at the things that we are doing, how we are responding to them, and we decide that's what is going to determine who we are. And that's just how we sort of work it out, right? And so what happens is, the things that come against us are our circumstances, our enemies, or what we're doing as Gideon was living, cowering away, that becomes who he was or who he is, how he saw himself. But that's not what God wanted him to do. That was not how God wanted him to see himself. And Gideon was going to have to learn, first of all, how is he going to figure out who he is? Who is he going to look to? Because if you look and if I look at the wrong things in life, for who I am, listen, we'll get the wrong answer. We won't get an answer that in the long run brings great satisfaction to our lives. In fact, God's answer to who we are many times is in direct contrast to our circumstances, the things that have come against us, the things that we are even doing in life that we don't want to be doing. One of the things that I was always impressed of, and I've always been this way, is when someone says, "I'm not going to be this way anymore." Aren't you? When they say, "This is how everyone sees me," or, you know, "This is a result of my circumstances," or, "But I'm not going to be this way anymore." Maybe you've seen someone before who came from really difficult circumstances and where it looked like they had not much of a future at all, and everyone would say they will never amount to anything. And that person said, "I'm not going to be that way." Isn't that impressive to you? Or I've seen people before who came from situations where someone said, you know, they're never going to amount to anything. They can never get an education. And because there was someone who spoke something different into their life, and they began to see themselves in a different light, they said, "I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be that way." And they instead found a different future. And those are the kind of lies that we say, yes, isn't that an incredible thing, a wonderful thing? Now, listen, I'm not talking about, and this story is not about you deciding, "I'm not going to be that way," and trying to rise up, because the question is, where will you go? This story is even more powerful, where you find your identity. This story is about Gideon, who God himself pursues Gideon and says, "Listen, I'm not talking about you, Gideon, say, 'I don't want to live this way. I want to be a different person.' I'm talking about, I'm telling you, I don't want you to live this way. I want you to be a different person. I want you to believe me and trust me as far as what I say, who you are." And when he says to him, "mighty warrior" or "brave man," he is saying, "This is who you are. This is who I want you to be. This is who you were created to be." And that's something that you can only go to God and look to God for God to tell you how he sees you and who you are, and you to believe what God says, even though your circumstances and those who are against you are those who say you will never amount to anything, or the things that you're doing that you realize this doesn't speak well for me, that those things say, you know, one story, give you one identity, but you look to God and you begin to believe that, but God has a different understanding of who I am. And God says something different about who I am. There's a commercial that came out a couple months ago. I think it's DirecTV kind of battling cable, is that right? And remember, they do this commercial with The Settlers. Anybody seen The Settlers? It's pretty funny, isn't it? And it works really well, because I know that DirecTV is kind of saying if you have cable, you're just, you know, you're settling for something in fear. But it really is a funny commercial, and it works pretty well for us. In fact, I think it's going to pop up on the TV about right now.
Dear, why don't we switch to DirecTV?
Now, Mother, we are settlers. I've settled for cable all my life.
But DirecTV has been number one in customer satisfaction over cable for 15 years.
We find our satisfaction elsewhere. The boy has his stick and hoop. The girl, her faceless doll. And you have your cabbages.
And you have your foot stomping.
I sure do. Don't be a settler.
It's pretty good, isn't it? Now, I like cabbage. But, I don't want to settle for cabbage, right? That's not the only thing that, you know, that I want to do. And it's easy for us to settle for, you know, living under our fears, or the things that frustrate us, or even the things that make us angry, and thinking, you know, those are the things, that's just what's going to determine who I am and the direction of my life. And it's easy to do that and not look and figure out that there's another place to look, another place to go, to understand and to figure out who you are. And this is what God is doing with Gideon, and he's invading Gideon's space in his life to say, look, this is not what I called you to be. In fact, what's really interesting to me, if you look at the passage, how Gideon reinterprets who comes and speaks to him. Because at first, it's a stranger who's a sojourner in the land who comes by the oaks there at Ophrah. And then all of a sudden, he is referred to as the messenger or the angel of God. And then as we read, you're going to see all of a sudden he refers to him as the Lord himself. And I think this is because his understanding changes as he realizes, recognizes how God is speaking into his life. Have you ever done that before? I have, where I realized, you know, it wasn't that person speaking, or it was God speaking through them. And then, you know, down the road, I began to realize God is speaking to me and trying to tell me something, and it changes, you know, your perception of it. And I think that you see Gideon doing exactly the same thing. Here's the second thing that holds us back, and it held Gideon back also, is because we aren't acting out on the things that God is, you know, called you to do. This is because Gideon's acting out on the things that, you know, the struggles around him call him to do, rather than responding to knowing who he is and saying, but this is what God has called me to do. And this is what it says in verse 13. It says, Gideon responded, excuse me, sir. He's still speaking to this messenger, angel, that he's going to later identify even more. Excuse me, sir, but if the Lord is with us. Now, it's funny because here's his frustration. Instead of saying, if the Lord is with me, he deflects. If the Lord is with us, with Israel, he says, why has all of this happened to us? Where are all the miracles our ancestors have told us about? Didn't they say the Lord brought us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to Midian. The Lord turned to him. So here's his change in understanding. The Lord turned to him and said, you will rescue Israel from Midian with the strength you have. I am sending you. Wow. I mean, it's a totally different understanding of his life than he had before. So he's complaining about where is God and why hasn't God rescued us and why haven't these things happened? And what he's saying is, listen, one of the reasons is because you haven't listened. And you haven't understood that the Lord wants to deliver, but he wants to deliver through you and through the strength that you already have in your life. In fact, here's one of those struggles that you're going to face, I do too, and that is how God tries to teach us to act out of our strength rather than focusing our lives on all the things that we don't have, the things that we're not, you know, there. Because, you know, he would have said, hey, if God would just do something, if these things were to happen, you know, if we just had more resources, if we just had more manpower, more wealth, you know, he could have easily looked at those things. Where God is saying to Gideon, listen, same thing he's saying to us, I will give you what you need. You have what you need. If I am with you, the strength that you have is enough strength to do the task, right? And you may say, well, but I'm not very strong. It's okay. If God is with us, God would not call us to a task or to do something that he had not equipped us with what we need to be able to do it, because that's what it means, God being with us. You see, the struggle that I have, and maybe that you find that you have, is my courage, my courageousness, many times does not empower me, and it should. In fact, here's the third reason we don't find satisfaction, is because our courageous actions don't come from where we believe our strength is. You know, we tend to cower away because we don't recognize what God has given us, and we don't recognize what God has done for us. I mean, Gideon is a man who should have realized this is who he is. This was his place in the society, in the culture, with his family. This is what God had called him to do. And instead, he's looking for someone else to do it rather than taking on the task that he should take on. In fact, look at Gideon's excuses in the next verse. Gideon said to him, "Excuse me, sir, how can I rescue Israel?" Here's his excuse. "Look at my whole family. It's the weakest one in Manasseh. And me, I'm the least important member of my family." Now listen, that wasn't true. He was a very important person, part of a very important family. But this is how he began to see it. Not in the strength God had given him, but he's creating these inadequacies that are there in his mind. And it goes on to say, "The Lord replied, I will be with you. You will defeat Midian as if it were only one man." I think this is an important verse and what he is saying to Gideon and what he says to you and I. We tend to say, it's so complicated, God. There's so many things out there to figure out. How can I figure these out? You know, it makes me feel as, you know, I have no power and I'm weak and I don't. And God says, listen, I'm going to make it a lot more simple than that. You will go out and you will defeat Midian as if it's just one-on-one, one man. And I think this is referring to the fact, too, that as we understand God and as we begin to see God and we begin to live for one, the one who made us and the one who created us, and the one who calls us, and the one who equips us, that all of a sudden the task becomes a lot simpler in our lives because we know he is the one who empowers us, he's the one who calls us, and so he is the one who will lead me in this battle. Even though, listen, as they go to battle, there are a lot of issues to face. But Gideon is supposed to see it. You and I are supposed to see it. Well, there is, but there's still really only one issue, and that is God with me? Can I trust him? Has God made me strong enough to deal with and to tackle what he wants me to face, what he has called me to? And the answer to that always is, of course he has. Yes. That's God's faithfulness. Listen, all of our tasks are different. But the call to one God is the same, right? All of the things that we face, all our positions, our roles, the things that will satisfy, you know, us in life, or we look back, all those things they're not the same. What, you know, my job, my task is not the same as yours. In fact, you will see things that I will not see. You will do things that I could not possibly do. But it is still one God who calls us to that. And it's one God who equips us and empowers us and who has built into us strengths that we need, the strength that we do need to be able to do the things that God has called us to do. I put a fourth one in there. It's not really a reason that we, you know, that we aren't satisfied, but it's I think it's important to understand about Gideon's life, so it doesn't follow the outline really well, but I like it. So that's all that matters. And that is this becomes something like this really becomes a transformational event for Gideon. It doesn't mean it's over. He doesn't have to do anything else. Everything will be peachy keen. But it means Gideon sort of changes how he sees life, how he understands life, where he thinks his strength will come from. So you are facing a lot of things coming against you that say, you can't do this. This is not going to work out. But as you turn to God and you look to God, there's a transformation that occurs when you realize, but God is my rescuer. And God is the one who empowers me. And God is the one who strengthens me. So I will go through this, and God will use this as I look to him, and he will use me in the midst of this so that I will look back one day and say, you know, this was worth going through. This was a good thing. Not because I could predict it all. Not because I could tell you exactly what was going to happen. Gideon, you know, he's really going a step at a time, but it is a big change in Gideon's perception and his understanding, and because of that, his courage and his strength to face the things that he's about to face. Three things happen. Gideon builds an altar. He runs off. He says, quick, let me go get an offering to bring, you know, to sacrifice, and he goes through all that, and he builds this altar. But it's interesting where he builds the altar. He also, the next night, he gets some men together, and he goes and he tears down the altar of Baal so that he can build the altar to God there, and what is called the Asherah, which is a wooden image. It's to a female deity that would have been put beside it, and he actually uses the wood from this, I don't know, giant totem pole, what it would have looked like. He uses the wood for the fire, for the altar. And so when the whole, part of this, part of Israel kind of wakes up in the morning and they realize it's been torn down, they're upset, they're mad. They go to Gideon's dad and they say, you know, who has done this? That's on Gideon's dad, it's on his property. That's how prominent he is. The altar to Baal and all was on the father's property, and it symbolized these false gods that they had combined in their worship and in their trust and their belief, you know, because that was the culture around them. And he has torn them all down, and they figured out pretty quick, it's Gideon who's done it. You know, it's that worthless son of yours, right? You know, and they, you know, they want something done about it. And his father, Joash, says a great thing. Joash says this. He says, listen, if Baal is God, if these false gods are really gods, let them deal with him. And Gideon actually gets a new name. It's Jerubbaal. And it means let Baal contend with him then, because Joash says, hey, if they're gods, they can handle this. You know, it makes you think that Joash must have understood, or maybe Gideon's even told him about what has happened to him and how he's seeing things and why he went and tore these things down. And it becomes a part of Gideon's name, which really is a part of freedom. He is one of the ones who's leading us to be free from these things that have enslaved us, free from these things that have dominated us and have taken us away from being the men and women, the people that God wants us to be, that God has called us to be. And then he learns, Gideon is one who has learned to listen and to obey God himself. That's where he's headed. That's what he wants to do. It's a transformational event in his life. I'm tearing down the old ways. I'm not listening to the old things. I'm going to listen to this one man, to God himself, what he says about my life, what he wants me to be. Isn't it a better way to live? What if we lived that way? What if we looked to God and we pursued God and we said, you know, God is the one who has pursued us. He is the one who wants to speak to us. Just think of how many times we would recognize God speaking and God's voice and God's hand in our life that now we just sort of miss it because of the things that we face and the things we're against, and we become, you know, blinded by, you know, just how mighty and how powerful God is in our lives. Let's pray together this morning. And dear Father, we admit it's easy for us to get distracted and to lose our focus and to forget who created us, who gave us life, who made us, who put us in this world at this time, at this place, and who even decided that we would face the enemies that we face and live in the time and the circumstances that we live in. And God, you even knew that we would struggle and that we would have difficulty and that so many times we would fail, but yet you were the one who had planned all along. to say something different to us, to help change how we see and understand who we are, our own lives. And from that, God, you would lead us to a different way of living, different actions in life, a different way even to look at ourselves and to see the strength that you really have built into us and how strong we are when you are with us and you walk with us. So, Father, we do pray that we would not become so caught up and overwhelmed by our fears and the anger that we have sometimes at what's going on in life, or sometimes just the giving in to allowing things to happen that we know that's not what you called us to. That's not who we are. But instead, God, would you help us? Would you teach us? Would you open our eyes so that we could see you, we could understand who you are and the difference that you do make? If you're here this morning, you've never put your hope and your trust in the rescuer that God has sent you. He has sent you a rescuer. Jesus Christ has come so that you don't have to live life the way you lived it before. You don't have to see life the way you saw life before. And Jesus Christ came so that you could find real satisfaction knowing that your life mattered and that God had a plan for your life. You open up your heart and say, Lord Jesus, come live inside of me. Come remake me. Change me. Forgive me of my sins. Teach me a new way to look at life, to follow you, to understand life. And fill me with a new spirit, your spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.